You ever notice how some entrepreneurs are out here calling their businesses a kingdom? Like they have arrived and are the boss of their market. But all they really have is a lemonade stand with Wi-Fi. I mean, seriously, half of them are solopreneurs with no differentiation or competitive advantage. Just a folding table, a cute little Canva logo, and a dream. And while they're out there slinging sugar water, a handful of category leaders are building actual castles, fortified with strategic moats so deep competitors can't even see the front door, let alone knock on it. Well, today, we're pulling back the curtain on what it really takes to dominate your market. Not compete, dominate. If you're stuck in a tactical hamster wheel of marketing, I'm about to show you how to step off the wheel and start drawing blueprints for your empire. But before we build that first wall, do me a favor, tap that subscribe button, because trust me, you're not going to want to miss the rest of this series. It's going to turn your business into the market's most feared fortress. All right, let's storm the castles.
Welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Podcast. Here's your host, Michael Buzinski.
Welcome back, Buzzworthy Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Buzinski. But you, my friends, can call me Buzz. Now, if you've been following along since last season, you already know the importance of the five keys to B2B marketing success. Focus, the sides of the identity coin, visibility, and efficiency. But what we haven't discussed is the unsung hero. Strategic action. So up to now, we've laid the foundation, wired the walls, and painted the trim on how to build a marketing system that actually scales. But today, we're moving past the blueprints. We're talking castles here. Because once you've nailed your focus, clarified your identity, and you're finally being seen by the right people, the question becomes, how do you stop playing the game and start owning the board? And this episode's all about strategic level thinking, the kind that doesn't just drive leads or revenue, it builds empires, the kind that put your brand in a category of one and makes your competitors irrelevant.
Here's a buzzworthy insight.
Most marketers are too busy looking for cheese in the same maze. Category leaders don't find more cheese. They build a new maze. This reminds me of a company that didn't just try to be better. They made being different their competitive advantage. They were a little known company called Engageo, who in 2015 launched into one of the most competitive markets out there, marketing software. And let's be honest, jumping into MarTech in the mid-2010s was like opening a new burger joint in the middle of Times Square. Everyone and their automated chatbot had some kind of platform. But instead of playing the same game as everyone else, like fighting over leads, creating cheese funnels, and drowning in the noise, Engageo did something brilliant. They zoomed in on account-based marketing, or what we call ABM. Not a tactic, not a feature. An entire strategic philosophy built around personalized engagement with high volume accounts. They didn't claim to be the best marketing automation tool. They said, we're the platform for B2B companies serious about ABM, period. This didn't make them the best in class. This made them the only in class. And that, my friends, is the difference between chasing trophies and building thrones. Because here's the thing. When you're best in class, you're in a race. You're constantly proving, tweaking, justifying while you are better than the guy next to you. When you're the only one in the class, there is no race. You're the category. You set the standard. You control the narrative. Now, I know what you're thinking. Buzz. That's great for tech company with funding, but I'm a business consultant, an accountant, MSP provider, or a financial advisor. There's already 100 people doing what I do. And to that, I say, perfect. Because category creation, or lesser known cousin category positioning isn't about investing something brand new. It's about carving out a corner of the market where only you exist. If you're an accountant, don't just be another CPA. Be the exit strategist for agency owners looking to sell in the next 3 years. If you're in IT, don't be tech support. Be the cyber guardian for medical practices under HIPAA pressure. See the difference? See, most business owners are busy fighting over space in a crowded village, stacking their booths higher, adding more flags, trying to shout louder. Category leaders, they hike up the mountain, build a fortified castle, and create a supply line so good, the village eventually just comes to them. That's the shift from vendor to visionary. All right, now that we've got you up on that mountain, building your category-defining castle, let's talk about how to defend it. Because as any Game of Thrones fan will tell you, every kingdom eventually gets challenged. And that's where strategic moats come in. Now, I'm not talking about fluffy branding or being nice to work with. I'm talking about intentional, hard-to-replicate advantages that make your competition, well, crap. Now, there are three types of moats you need if you want to make your category leadership bulletproof. First up is the intellectual property or frameworks. This is your proprietary method, your special sauce. If you were me, it would be your rule of 26. The thing that you do no one else can copy, at least not without looking like a bootleg version of you. A solid framework gives you the power to shift from selling time to selling transformation. It positions you as the architect of results, not the laborer of deliverables. The second type of moat is client experience systems. Most business owners think their value ends with the deliverable. Wrong. Your real moat, it's the repeatable, delightful, holy crap, that was easy experience your clients have when working with you. The smoother and more strategic your client journey is, the more loyalty you lock in, and the harder it becomes for your competitor to poach your people. The third moat is brand narrative and market ownership. This is where you stop reacting and start orchestrating. It's when your market starts using your language, when your point of view becomes the lens they see their problem through. When you own the conversation, you don't need to fight over keywords or ads. You are the keyword. Your narrative becomes the standard. A great example of this is a company I've worked with called Dagsit. Now, Dagsit isn't your average fractional CFO firm. They're not out there pushing spreadsheets and monthly reporting like every other numbers nerd. Nope. They built a strategic moat around a proprietary methodology we call financial resource optimization. And it's laser targeted at one niche. Commercial contractors doing between $10 and $30 million in revenue. That's it. That's their kingdom. They're not trying to be CFOs for everyone. They're not offering bookkeeping or tax prep. They're not chasing shiny financial tech. They're positioning themselves as the operational financial brain trust for growing construction businesses. And their entire client experience built around the rhythms, cash flow chaos, and project-based headaches that only contractors understand. Their frameworks, tools, and even their language are engineered for that niche. You know what that creates? A moat so wide, so specific, that when competitors walk up with a generic fractional CFO offering, the client laughs and says, yeah, we already have Dagsit. Thanks though. And that's the goal. You don't need to be better. You need to be undeniably aligned with a specific group, solving a specific problem in a way no one else even thought to try. So if you want to dominate your market, don't just build the castle. Build the moat. Protect your positioning. Make switching to someone else feel like going from high-speed fiber to dial-up. And when you've got that kind of defense in place, That's when you get to play offense with confidence, because now you're not just different, you're untouchable, which busts the market myth. To stand out, you have to be better. I hope now you can see why that is wrong. You don't have to be better. You have to be clearer. You have to be more focused. You have to be undeniably relevant to the right people. From what I've seen, most businesses confuse different with better. So what do? They add bells, whistles, and 17 more bullet points to their service list, thinking that they'll finally convince someone to pick them. Let me be blunt. Adding more features isn't differentiation. It's desperation. Look, I've seen this play out 1,000 times. A business launches with a solid offer. It works, but their competitors show up. And instead of going deeper, they go wider. Let's add this service. Let's throw in this bonus. Let's build this feature because our competitors have it. Before long, their messaging sounds like a late night infomercial. But wait, there's more, right? Here's the truth. If you're trying to win based on features, you're not leading, you're chasing. You're putting your differentiation in the hands of your competition. You're reactive, not strategic. The businesses that dominate, they win on focus. Strategic, intentional, niche level focus. And you know what makes that kind of focus possible? Knowing your perfectly profitable prospect inside and out. This isn't about fluffy ideal client avatar stuff. This is about understanding who values what you do most, who is willing to pay for it at a premium it deserves, and who respects the way you deliver it. Because here's the thing, you don't need to be everything to everyone. You need to be exactly what one specific group can't live without. When you know your P3P, you don't need to talk about everything you can do. You talk about the one thing you do best in the exact way that matters to them most. Think of it like a restaurant. If you're starving and craving sushi and you see one place that offers sushi, pizza, burgers, and breakfast all day, and another that's a quiet, minimal Japanese joint run by a third generation sushi chef, where are you going? Exactly. Focus beats featured, packed every time. So if you're still trying to convince prospects with a laundry list of deliverables, it's time to pivot. Strip it down. Dial it in. Build a business that is irresistible to the right people and invisible to the wrong ones. Because real differentiation isn't about piling it on. It's about being so clear, so focused, and so perfectly positioned that your P3P sees you and says, finally, someone who actually gets it. And if you're not familiar with what the P3P is, take a moment to go back to season 10, episode 10, where I talk about breaking through the visibility growth blockade. Okay. Once you've dialed in your differentiation and locked in your P3P, you've got the makings of a powerhouse business. But if you want to move from powerful to legendary, that takes positioning. Not short-term positioning, the kind that wins a few deals this quarter. I'm talking about the long game, strategic marketing positioning. That this is something that cements your place as the go-to brand for years to come. This is where you stop being an option and become an institution. This is where you become what is called a category of one. When you build your business around a clear, focused narrative that solves a specific problem for a specific group, and you do it consistently enough, something weird starts to happen. Your market segment starts using your language. They don't say, we need website marketing. They say, we need the rule of 26. They don't say, I need a fractional CFO. They say, do you know anyone who does financial resource optimization? That right there, that's market ownership. That's when the words you created become the shorthand for solving a problem. That's when you stop chasing clients and start fielding referrals from people you've never even met. It's like being the village elder in a small town. You don't have to advertise. You don't chase leads. People just know. If this is your problem, that's who you go to. Your brand becomes lore. Your results become legend. You stop competing on price because your name is the value. But here's where most people get it twisted. Strategic positioning isn't about how you show up. It's about where you're going.
Here's a buzzworthy insight.
Positioning isn't about where you stand. It's about how far behind your competition will be chasing you from 3 years from now. Think of it as planting a flag, not just in the ground, but in your industry's future. It's saying, we don't just solve today's problems. We're leading the conversation on what's coming next. And here's the best part. You don't need to be the biggest player to become a category of one. You just need to own something so specifically, so powerfully, and so consistently that no one else even attempts to copy you. Because once you're positioned at the top of a mountain, the only thing your competition can see is the back of your cape as you disappear into the clouds. Now, if you've been following me for any length of time, you already know this truth. Businesses don't scale because they're solving surface problems with surface tactics. But yet, time and time again, we see businesses boost ad spend without a strategy. They do more social without message clarity. They copy competitors' funnels, hoping for magic, and then they wonder why their business feels like a hamster wheel strapped to a cinder block. Let me be clear. Tactics without strategy are just expensive distractions. They give you the illusion of progress while your competitors are out there building empires. You want real growth? I'm talking exponential, sustainable, market-leading growth. Well, that comes from strategic level marketing. It's the engine behind everything we've talked about today. Your focus, your differentiation, your positioning. It's what drives your visibility to the right people, elevates your authority in the market, and creates the efficiency that makes your growth scalable. Because when you're strategic, every marketing move is connected. Your message matches your model. Your offer aligns with your audience, and your brand doesn't just show up. It stands out and sticks. And this is where the market domination strategy comes in, which isn't some 10-step checklist or funnel hack. It's a mindset shift. It's about moving from tactics to strategy, from volume to value, from noise to narrative, and from being in the race to designing the race itself. It's about thinking like a category leader before your competitors even know the category exists. The businesses that scale aren't the ones doing the most. They're the ones that do the right things at the right level of thinking and doing them with relentless consistency. So if you're trying to out-hustle your competitors, it might be time to out-strategize them instead. Because when you think like a market dominator, you don't play the game, you shape it. Let's land this dragon. If you take nothing else from today's episode, remember this. Don't compete. Create. Build a moat, not just a brand. And lead your market. Don't chase it. Because the truth is, the most successful businesses aren't the ones fighting for more attention. They're the ones shaping the conversation. They don't rise above the noise. They own the frequency. Now, if everything we talked about today lit a fire under you, if you're ready to start building your castle and finally stepping in to being a category of one, I want to invite you to something special. I'm offering a free market domination strategy discovery call where we'll map out exactly how to take your business from tactically busy to strategically unstoppable. No fluff, no pitch deck, just clarity. So if you're serious about becoming the village elder, owning your niche, and making your competitors irrelevant, head over to buzzworthy.marketing/podcast and book your session now. I hope to hear from you soon. But until then, I'm Buzz, reminding you that being boring is a choice. So stay buzzworthy.